This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed has been waiting for you to enjoy whenever you're ready. Just like the new Slender Blend Up from Boost Juice. Lighten the load. With less than 225 calories and 20 grams of protein, they're at Boost Juice now.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. And it's Ed, the whole team's here. Say hello, team.
Hi.
Oh, what a happy family environment this is.
They are wonderful. Kieran's the internet bloke missed it. Go, Kiz. Hey, Kiz.
Hi.
There he is. Well done.
But you haven't seen a mood change in an office environment when you see chocolate stolen like it was this morning. God, there were some heavy heads.
There were some lows, but now we're back up. With so many delicious, you can see all the Insta of our chocolates in our show bags. Okay, I brought you on in here for your religious Easter quiz. So well, I don't see why there's snickering. So this is what the season's about. So you buzz in with your name if you know the answer. Question one. Why is it called Good Friday?
Because every Friday's good.
Bloody godless bunch. Let's move on. Okay. Question two. What did Jesus do on Easter Sunday?
Ali.
Rose
from the dead.
Yeah. Yes. Secondary question. What did he have? Yeah. Kim?
Oh, no.
Your name is Kim,
say,
not
Kim.
Kim.
You maybe have went out late because Monday's a day off.
Oh, my God. She's doing material.
Oh, no. I was thinking that personally.
You are the best. So you think Jesus was on a bender and he's come back to the cave and gone, hang on, everyone thinks I'm dead.
No, he's a tradie.
Well,
he earned it. He works hard.
Didn't he?
Hard night on the mead.
Yeah.
What did they drink? Hang on, what did they drink? Anyway, here's a tough question. What was the alcohol of choice in ancient Bethlehem?
Kava.
Jesus.
Kava. Kim's come back in with Kava.
I didn't know, Jesus was a Fijian.
His blood.
You are all
wine.
Yeah, wine.
And,
well done.
And his blood.
Yeah, it's wine. I thought it was a trick question.
Yes, so did I. I'm going, maybe it's something.
Is it port wine?
Was it grappa?
I don't know. You are all the devil's fiery messenger.
I went to a private Catholic school and I know nothing.
Well, what were you doing during religious lessons, Ben?
Realising that this is a crock.
Oh, for some people. For other people, that's a
no eggs for you on Sunday.
Even more
for you. Well played, everyone. Good job, team. Have a lovely Easter. Bye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
God rest ye. All right, just me. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Tell me where the freaks at. Oh, Timmy Trumpet.
There he is.
Featuring somebody. That tells you that it is, as Ben pointed out, technically Friday.
Yes.
Happy Technical Friday, everybody, as we roll into Easter Thursday. Does Easter extend, Grant Denyer, to the Thursday?
It sure does.
So this is Easter Thursday.
I think that's why we're starting the party now, my friend.
In biblical terms, what happened today? You don't know?
No, what do you reckon happened today?
Ooh, Ben, do you know what happened today?
Is this before the crucifix?
Oh, definitely. This is before crucifixion. Right. This is BC, BC.
This is the making of the buns day.
Making of the buns. I wouldn't expect any type of highbrow biblical knowledge from a filth monger like you. Let's deal with the issues.
Don't talk to Ben like that. He's a nice bloke.
Yesterday, Grant Denyer, you brought the tone of commercial radio down with this comment.
You got it out all the time. Home.
Oh, in the right time when it's just me and my wife.
Yeah, that's nice.
Freak the entire family out. But
what's it doing? Is it a trick? Is it just sort of
swing it back and forward? I swing it in circles, left to right. I can make it slap each thigh. So I go one side to the other side. One's like
slap.
It's so fun.
I mean, if you think that's what radio is, Daniel.
It really escalated.
Now put it away. Put it away, Daniel. Not now. No, oh my God. It's moving so quickly, it's like a blur. Don't do that again,
stop
please.
Looking me in the eyes, I'm doing that, please, Ed. It's freaking me out.
What a huge show. Yeah, we're freaked out. What a huge show. Australia's Grant Denyer. If you win the gold logo, you got to do that. Well, I don't really have anything to say. I've got more something to do. Huge day today. Your daughter wants to be a YouTube star. We're going to talk date nights. Our Ask Me Anything today is a very full-on story about someone who survived a terrorist attack. We've got Russell Crowe for you. We do have pink tickets. It's a massive Easter, whatever. It's almost a long weekend. Let's get straight into it. We're coming back with Watch the Superior.
Easter egg.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
Grant Jenya.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, I know.
My desk is completely covered.
So, yeah, my side's covered too. It is, what is the superior Easter egg? Grant Denyer took the unbelievable step of trying to eat one in the last 30 seconds of that song. Somehow made it.
Chocolate makes it takes a long time to dissolve in the mouth, doesn't it?
Because... Oh, okay. Straight away, you've brought up a question. Is good chocolate quicker to
process?
You know, go process or longer? I would have thought the better the chocolate, the quicker it melts in your mouth.
Yeah, that's true. I would have thought that too.
Let's rank
the highest standard of chocolate.
Yeah, great work. Let's rank them. Let's go. So bottom is what you'd get in sort of...
$2 shops.
Yeah, $2 shops, which is essentially cardboard painted brown.
Floor chocolate.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Floor chocolate. Because it kind of feels when you're eating it like it's all the bits that fell on the floor scraped together into one little chocolate.
Your leftovers.
Solid mid-range, I'm going to say Red Tulip.
Okay.
Yep.
Above Red Tulip, I'm going to place Cadbury.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And above Cadbury, I'm going to place Darrell Lee.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'd go with that.
Then I'm going to go into the territory of the Belgian thing, Lindt.
Lindt,
yeah.
And is there anything above Lindt?
I reckon Haig's is pretty good too.
Haig's, oh, but that's call. Your fancy. Yeah. And then you're into your what I call well your fancies.
Oh, your boutique chocolates.
Your boutiques. In the Denyer household growing up, what was the Easter egg of choice?
Oh, we grew up in a pretty poor household, so we were lucky if we could get a little bit of Cadbury's. Was probably the best we ever got. Remember how special it was if your mum would buy you a Cadbury cream egg? Like while you're standing there at the supermarket and you're in the queue and you're really annoying your mum, because the more you annoy your mum, the greater chance you'll get a prize out of it, which is stupid parenting by her.
Don't get caught with egg on your face.
Yes. But you look at the inside of a Cadbury cream egg and it doesn't look very natural, does it? It looks very synthetic.
Shut up, you.
The internals. I don't want to ruin Easter for you.
From natural creams. So this is the game. What is the superior Easter egg? I've got the Wonderboom speakers to dish out 131060. Do you think that the crunchy egg is the best?
Yes.
Maybe you think it's an abomination.
That's what I just ate. It's so good.
Are you a left field type of person? Yes. Are you someone who enjoys a caramel inside your Easter eggs?
And natural
caramel. Are you crazy?
do you like to mix mint with your chocolate? I know that's controversial.
We're going to come back and Belinda's going to be first because she and I are kindred spirits. So 131060, what is the superior Easter egg as we launch headlong into Easter? Oh, man, we've got so many on our desk. This could be it for me.
This crunch is so good.
We're playing What's the Superior. So what's the superior Easter egg? Let's go straight to Belinda because, Belinda, you are niche, but you are my type of party. Belinda, what's the superior Easter egg?
It's got to be the Darrell Lee Nougat egg.
Stand up for her. That's my one, Belinda.
I don't think
so. Yeah. Oh, my God. I wait all year for that. It is just, and then I may go to the newsagents and buy an entire box and they look at me like I'm insane because they're not cheap.
How good are they? It's the only Easter egg you eat with a knife and fork.
Oh, yeah. And you eat it all in one sitting and it's a whole 1,000 calories and you feel sick for days, but it's the best feeling in the world.
And they're like, sometimes you just can't go and buy it because Darrell Lee does a lot of seasonal stuff, like coconut ruffs, for instance. They only produce at a certain time of the year. So if you've got a craving for it outside that window, you just got to ride it out, man.
But I like that, man. Everything's available the whole time now. I like a bit of seasonal, what's that called? Yeah. Seasonal discrepancy. Tim from Kellyville, what is the superior Easter egg?
It's the giant Kinder egg.
Do you mean the one like the one I'm holding right now, Tim?
He's got one.
Oh, Timmy. And Tim, what's the theme of this year's ones that they're doing for Easter?
I didn't even check, to be honest, but
Star Wars.
I will.
It's Star Wars, mate.
Oh, my God.
That's what I said.
Tim's having a meltdown right now.
Timmy, I'm holding one now. So this inside, so you get the chocolate. How good is Kinder chocolate is underrated.
True.
Yeah, it's half the size of your head. How could you not want it?
Yeah, it's very thin though. Like, there's not a lot in it, particularly with the small eggs.
Yeah, that's true. But that's why when they do the top 10 items that are sold at Coles, Bueno chocolate is often in the top 10 because it's the Kinder Surprise chocolate, but in a bar. And the reason that they sell a lot of it is because it's small. So when kids are hassling the mums at the counter, they grab that because, yeah, you can have a chocolate, but it's not too big.
I don't know if the chocolate versus wafer ratio is right in a Bueno, but it is nice. I think there's too much wafer. If we're going to break it down to percentages, I don't think they've nailed the numbers.
Oh, the hard-hitting topics. Jaden, what's the superior Easter egg?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've got to say it's the massive footy eggs you can get.
Now, are they going with clubs again? Are we back to clubs with the footy eggs?
I think they are, yeah. I've seen a few around, like a Tigers one out my way in Campbelltown. But, yeah, it's good. Before you crack it open, you can pass it around with the mates. Just don't kick it.
No one put up a bomb, though. That's not going to work. Jaden, that's great. But just quickly, before we keep having fun, Kim, our producer, stormed in. Kim, I believe you've got an issue.
I just think there's, I don't know, I like just a simple egg and a bunny. When I grew up, that's all we had, but now it's all just too much.
Yeah. What was the one that
ones
set
with
you off?
Almonds. Oh, what set me off? Even the cream ones.
Listen to you go.
Humpty Dumpty, fine. That can be the third one. A bunny, a normal egg, and Humpty Dumpty, done.
When did you grow up in the Depression?
No.
What about the one? What about the Daryl Lee one that's just covered in hundreds and thousands?
No. Yeah. Too what much.
About, hang on. What about the Milky? What about the Rocky Road Daryl Lee?
No.
What about
come on.
No.
Live a little, will you?
No, I think it's over the top and I don't know, a bit of BS.
These crunchy ones are here. That's a wonderful mixture of texture. You've got the creaminess of the chocolate interspersed by the little crunchiness of the crunchy pieces.
I do admit probably the only other one that could sneak in for number four would be the crunchy full egg.
Now we're up to four.
No, that's it. Supermarket shelves, that's all they need to stock, honestly.
Thank you, Soviet Kim. Okay.
Where does Max Brenner fit in the scheme of things for chocolate quality in your book?
Doesn't.
I've never been in there.
You've never been to Max Brenner?
I've never been to Max Brenner.
Oh, wow. Well, now we got our next date planned.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what happened on the last date that we went on, and you insisted on this the whole time. Oh, put it away, Grant. Grant, put it away, mate. We're having a nice chat.
This bill's not going to pay itself, Ed.
Okay, our winner today is Jaden with the football eggs because he passes them around. Jaden, you got the Wonder Boom speakers. They are completely wireless. They're absolutely fantastic. And we're going to give our other friends some movie tickets. Thank you, everybody. Coming back because it's Uber has decided to go carpooling. So you'll get in an Uber and there'll be two people that you don't know in the Uber and you're all going together. Is that a good idea?
And then unfortunately you get James Corden driving. How annoying.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.
Uber has decided to introduce something they've been doing overseas for a while, Grant, called Uber Pool. They're saying a new way to share, which is launching on April 3rd, so it's very, very soon. A product that makes it easy for people, this is Uber saying this, not me, is easy for people headed in similar directions at a similar time to share the journey.
Right.
I thought it was like pools that you could go around and swim in. That would be so cool.
Uber Splashdown.
That is a wonderful idea.
You utilise...
Everyone shut up. Everyone shut up. We've just made $1 billion. We could
go and register it now.
Someone register pool guys.
No, not that. So, here's how it works. You enter a destination and request Uber Pool, not the one we think it is, and then you walk a short distance to a pickup spot near you. Oh, this is starting to sound a bit sus. And
you've got to walk to meet the Uber,
yes,
right?
Yep. This helps detours. So basically, if you're going somewhere and it's, I guess, along a main road, they'll say walk up to the main road. 50% you can save up to on your trip compared with UberX. I won't read what the managing director of Uber Australia, New Zealand said, because I'm pretty sure the general manager of Uber Australia is just a bot living somewhere in Southeast Asia generating statements. But Kieran, our wonderful internet guy, Kieran, you've actually used Uber Pool.
I have. I used it in the capital of traffic that is LA.
So it's already been going in LA.
Yeah.
All right. So what actually happens?
So we were going from one side of LA to the other, and all that happened for us was we got picked up at a normal spot because we were the start of the journey.
Right.
So we then put our destination in, and on the way we just turned left instead of right for one reason, picked someone up, and then along the way on the roads that we were going on anyway, we drop that person off.
It's like a bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially, so this is a bus.
It's a bus with just less people on board.
It was 30% off, though.
That's the advantage. It's cheaper.
Yeah. How much longer did it take?
5 minutes, not even.
Not even 5 minutes. And this is in LA, which is a nightmare. But the people, though, were you forced to sort of... Did you have to make sort of chit-chat with the people?
So you can only put a maximum of two people on your ride, and they can put two people on theirs. So I just took the back seats.
Right.
And then they've got to sit in the front.
Yeah, but if there was another person, then you're going to have to sit next to someone.
So I sit in the middle.
And what if someone really sort of tall or big came along, then they would have to sit. You'd have to move over, so now they're sitting on the side, you're sitting in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know how tall people would work in that situation.
Graham, what would you do? Just get in the glove box? Yeah. Grant Denyer, what happened, mate? You reached out to somebody and they didn't get back to you, and you said it's the biggest showbiz feud since, well, forever.
I don't know if that's exactly right, but Jessica Rowe is saying farewell to Studio 10 tomorrow. It's her last day after joining the show since 2013. And, yeah, I recorded a little something-something for the lovely lady.
Yeah, and you put it out on in the line. And did she respond? She didn't, did she?
I haven't received anything just yet, but didn't do it for thanks. I didn't do it for me. Well, I did it for her.
I don't know. Well, she's on the line. Jessica, is this a show? Is this the biggest showbiz feud of all time?
No,
I think it's a surprise that you're yet to see. So let's not talk about this any further.
Oh, right. You had me going, oh no, what have I done? What have I forgotten? Because people who know me well know I'm very bad at replying to emails and phone messages and things.
I don't want you to feel bad for one second, because we want to just talk about the wonderful years you've had on this show. Big call to make the decision to step down from Studio 10 to put your relationship with your husband and your kids first and other aspects of your career. That must have been tough.
Oh, thank you, lovely. Well, it has been a big decision and a hard one, because I love what I do. I love my job at Studio 10. It's been the best job I've ever had in the media, because it was a job that allowed me to be myself, to snort with laughter on the telly, to be passionate about the sorts of issues that I feel strongly about, to be silly, to have pink hair. It really was an incredible role for me. So it was a hard decision to make, and one that I really, over sort of 6 months, went back and forward, back and forward, and I'm sure I drove everyone near and dear to me bananas, because, you know, I'd keep saying, what do you think? Da, da, da. But you know, when you make those big decisions, you have to listen to your heart, and the answer does come to you. And I just knew that the time was right to sort of walk away, so to speak, and to spend more time with my beautiful girls, to be more present as a mum, and also to spend more time with my beautiful husband and look, you know, and look out for other sorts of opportunities. I mean, I'm a big believer in like making a risky sort of decision in the sense of, some people say, what are you doing? But I've always been a believer in, you've got to go with what your heart tells you. You've got to step out of your comfort zone sometimes and just sort of see what's out there.
You know what, Jess? Yeah. One thing, I just want to say thank you, because you've been such a ray of sunshine on that show. You're such a delight to watch every day. You do wear your heart in your sleeve. You're a very passionate person, but you've been very upfront and frank and honest about your own struggles in life. And I think that is so helpful to everybody else out there. You know, postnatal depression, you've spoken a lot about, mental health. It really is important to have those discussions, and you weren't afraid to do that about yourself on national television. So well done.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm an oversharer because I do believe, and I found this as I've got older, there's incredible power that comes from being vulnerable. When I was younger, I used to think, oh, no, I have to appear to be bulletproof and have it all together. But that's not real life. And all of us have our struggles. All of us have a story. I had terrible postnatal depression after the birth of both of my beautiful girls. And that was such a dark time for me. And the level of shame that I felt going through that really surprised me, because previously I'd been an advocate for talking about mental health because my mum has got bipolar disorder. So we've done a lot together publicly. But when I myself realised that I had depression, I felt so ashamed. And
what that then meant was once I got better, I thought, I have to talk about this because otherwise I will be a hypocrite. My message before I had depression had been, there should be no stigma, we need to talk about it. And I thought, I need to talk about my experience because it's not just mine. You fellas would know with postnatal depression, it's about 1 in 7 new mums. There's also new figures saying it impacts on dads as well. We have terrible rates of anxiety in this country, but I'm all for hope and encouraging people to not only ask for help, to get help, and to say that there is strength in asking for help. And basically, I'm still crazy. I take my antidepressants, but that's okay. You know, we're all doing our very best.
You're a bloody legend.
We are trying. So, well, Jessica Rowe, good luck today on today and tomorrow, the last couple of episodes of Studio 10, and good luck with whatever it is that you choose to do in the future. Thanks for talking to us
today. Oh, thank you.
Take care, sweetheart.
I really appreciate it. Lots of love.
Well done.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Denya, how does it work?
What you got to do is you got to sing the next line. We play the song, we stop it, you keep singing, then you get the prizes.
Who you got?
Which are awesome prizes.
Yeah. He doesn't read it. That's what that was.
I just know for a fact that everything we do is awesome in here in terms
stop
of prizes.
Trying to fill. It is a Easter show cash.
I think we got Emma on the line first.
Stop. $150 worth of Easter show cash. Emma from Wollongong. Now, you know how this works? You have to sing the next line exactly right.
Yes. Morning, guys.
Okay, Emma, you sound excited. You sound happy. This is good.
I am.
This song's going to play to you.
My partner just walked back in the car, so I'm going to have to sing in front of him.
Yes. All right, take it away.
You see, my problem is this. I'm dreaming away.
Oh, my God.
It's Britney.
I cry. I cry every night.
You don't cry every night. Oh, that's sad. No, sorry, Emma. Oh, have a nice Easter. Here's Ty. Ty from Lilyfield. Ty, you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go.
You see, my problem is this. I'm dreaming away.
Wishing that heroes, they truly exist.
Yeah! Ty, you've done it!
Woo!
How did you know that?
I love Britney.
Keep singing. What's the next line? Wishing the heroes, they truly exist.
I cry watching the day.
Yes.
I don't want to sing anymore.
Oh.
Well,
you've done it. Congratulations that you've got yourself the $150 Easter show cash. Well played.
Well deserved.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
That was a lot of fun, but I did want that to keep going.
Yeah.
I did want that to keep going. All right, 7:08. We're going to do this for the last time. The cricketers have been banned. Gogs, our intrepid news hound, has watched all the long, boring press conferences, but she's going to come and tell us what they're banned, how long they're banned for, and have they finally said the C word? Huh? Cheating.
Oh.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
The sanctions have been handed down to the three Australian cricketers over in South Africa. That's it. This is going to be hopefully the last time we're going to talk about this. Gogs from our news and sport room. Hi, Gogs.
Hey, how are you guys? We're talking cricket for another day, making headlines again. Unbelievable.
This is it. So what happened overnight?
Look, so overnight they've been handed Steve Smith, David Warner and Cameron Bancroft all dished out really severe bans by Cricket Australia. Smith, Warner, they're gone for 12 months. Cameron Bancroft, he's been given 9 months. Now, basically what they were charged with, bringing the game into disrepute, investigators revealing it was actually David Warner who developed this plan. So he's come up with this ball tampering plan and he's influenced a junior member to carry it out, that being Cameron Bancroft.
So Warner's gone to Bancroft because Warner's normally the guy that plays with the ball. But the South African players had tipped off the local sporting sort of Foxtel, basically saying, listen, watch this guy. He's got bandages on his hands. He's affecting the ball.
Exactly.
He knows that. So then he's gone to Bancroft and said, listen, mate, I'm under the pump here. Can you take over the ball stuff? But the South Africans have then tipped them off to say, hey, watch Bancroft instead.
And that's the footage that we've all seen by now where he's, you know, splashed all over the big screens and he's popped this. What we're now being told is sandpaper and not sticky tape into his deck.
So, what would they be trying to do with sandpaper in the ball?
So rough it up. Yeah.
So to try and get it dismissed from play and get a ball replacement, or get it to affect the ball.
Yeah, either get it to move around more or get it replaced. Mm. Basically, ruin it to the point where we can't. Oh, okay, use this thing, or it's moving around in the air.
Same process. What Steve Smith came out and said was it was the sticky tape that they'd had, and they'd tried to rough it up by getting some gravel.
So
that
if they lied, Gogs, if they lied when they said yes, it was sticky tape, and 100%. Now we find out it's sandpaper. So they've lied about that as well.
And that's where Steve Smith has really gotten himself into a world of trouble. He knew about the plan. He didn't stop it. But then he's also lied about the whole situation, the whole leadership group. Remember how he sat there at this press conference and said...
It's a leadership group, mate. It's a leadership group.
The leadership group had come up with this plan.
Guys. I just want to hear more of Grant Daniels' Steve Smith impersonation.
Leadership group, guys. Wasn't me. It's a leadership group.
Okay, not bad. Yeah.
Smokes a lot.
had a lot of champagne.
Well, that's Warner. Yeah. They have been dealt these bans. They've also been ordered to complete 100 hours of voluntary service in community cricket.
How can you be ordered to do something voluntarily?
That's a very good point, actually.
And do the 100 hours of community service in cricket, does that include Swiss vitamin ads, or is that on top of that as well?
Wait and see. This one's
a big
one. You
have to sandpaper everybody's tables.
Yes.
Hey, just quietly, who puts sandpaper down in their jocks?
Yeah, wouldn't...
Oh, that's not an area you don't want sandpaper down there.
Well, the balls were roughed up.
We'll never grow hair again.
Yeah, so look, Smith, he can't captain for 2 years. Warner,
hang on. So Steve Smith is not captain of the Australian cricket team for 2 years?
No, so he's going to sit out that 1 year ban. If he comes back, he can't captain for another year. And Warner, he can never hold a leadership position again. That's done for him. Massive financial loss for these guys as well. Like their IPL contracts, they've been ripped up. So,
don't know if that's true, Gogs. I think the IPL thing's still up in the air. The Indian Premier League's
certainly had their captaincies taken off.
Yeah, no, I think
they're
both on over $1 million each to go and overplay there for 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So I think, I don't know if that's still up in the air.
No, have you got the bit that one?
Look, what did the coach, Darren Boof Lehman, who worked beautifully, Ben, our panel guy, who's got no idea who he is, goes, I've got a grab here from Boof Lehman. Can we hear from Boof?
Let's hear from Boof.
Made the charges.
No, that's wrong one. See? Oh. Wrong one, Ben. That tells you how much he doesn't know who he is.
This one.
They've made a grave mistake, but they are not bad people. As a coach, you feel for them as people. They are hurting, and I feel for them and their families. I hope that in all this, the media and the fans don't forget that.
And this is where it does become interesting, I think. There's sort of mixed reactions to the punishment that's been dished out. Some saying people are outraged now. They were outraged first at the cheating. Now they're outraged saying, it's actually a bit too much. I don't know. What else could they do, really?
Yeah, you got to ban it. You had to ban it for some time.
It comes out, it's cheating. Have been revealed that it's cheating.
Oh, you're saying the C word. Mm. And, because the James Sutherland, the boss of Cricket Australia who flew over there, wouldn't say it yesterday. This is what he had to say overnight.
Made the charges and offered the sanctions as cheating. So I think people want to use their own words, but cheating is certainly one of them that is probably appropriate in the circumstances.
It is cheating. It was cheating, and they've been banned for cheating. Do you guys want my exclusive?
Yeah.
First we heard it was sticky tape, that they were tampering with the ball. And then Steve Smith's come out now and said, no, it was sandpaper. Mm-hmm. I've actually got some exclusive audio from Supersport in South Africa that it's actually much worse than that.
Okay.
Not only did Cameron Bancroft have the sticky tape and the sandpaper down the pants, he also had an angle grinder. This is Cameron Bancroft working on the ball down his dacks.
Thank you, Gog.
Thank you.
So, Easter long weekend. Uh-huh. And my beautiful wife and I, we have a 6-month-old son, Arnold, and we had put this in pen in both of our diaries and in our iCalendars. We have diary meetings where we sit down and we said date night.
Oh, good.
Date night.
Is this the first one since the birth of the child?
Yes, we go further back than that because Tiff was quite sick during her pregnancy. Uh-huh. So this will be the first time in almost a year that Tiff and I will go out just as a couple together on date night.
Oh my God, I reckon you're going to fall asleep before 7:30.
Thanks.
You're not match fit for partying, man. You know what? You're out of practice.
What, should I send her out with Karl Stefanovic? It's not a very good idea.
You looking forward to it?
I was.
Why?
I booked dinner, booked a movie.
Yeah.
So pumped up.
Yeah.
She's sick.
Oh, no.
Tiff is sick, and Tiff never gets sick.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that, man.
Well, no, don't worry, because what I'm offering is to go with someone else.
Say what?
I want to go out. I want to go to a movie. I haven't seen it. I haven't been to the movies in a year.
Oh.
I haven't been out for dinner.
Oh, you're still committed to the plan.
I'm going.
She's crook with a newborn baby at home.
Well, it depends how you look at it. So when I'm, the way I look at it is I've got a babysitter.
You should be putting like a face washer on her forehead. You should be giving her foot rubs.
Okay, so.
I'll leave her one.
131060. If you'd like to go out with me, we are going. No, not in a weird way. This is not weird.
Are you looking for? Are you auditioning for replacements?
Yes, yes, a replacement person to come on date night with me. I have been looking forward to this for so long.
You're determined. How's Tiff going to feel about this?
I guess we'll probably find out when my phone goes off in a second. So 131060. I am offering a cavalier night out. It's going to be dinner. It's going to be a movie.
It's going to be all the polos buttoned to the top.
Boring old stories that you can handle.
Mm. Reflections about the greatest South American soccer players of our time.
If you are keen to hear about Carlos Valderrama, I am your man.
Oh, God.
131060. It's a date night. My wife can't go. Who would like to step into the breach?
Grab a hoodie. Let's do it.
On 131060, who wants to come on date night? My wife and I had planned date night. We haven't been out for a year because of our beautiful son and whatever. She's sick. She's sick.
Uh-huh.
And I want to go out.
You're disappointed. I know that. You feel like you've been robbed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Stand tall. Do it anyway.
I'm auditioning people to go out with me in place of my wife. So
is this a new TV show that's replacing Married at First Sight, by the way?
What's that?
Sounds like a good concept. Feels like we're onto something.
Yeah, we might be onto something. Well, maybe we'll talk to people first and then find out what we are actually onto. Grant, people have called, thankfully, and hopefully it's not just people from sales putting on a voice. Who is the first nominee?
Amy is on the line. Amy, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
What appeals to you about going out on a date with Ed?
Well, I haven't been on a date with my own husband in about 6 months either because, you know, kids and life and all the rest of it. And I reckon Ed would be pretty good company. He's pretty cute and I think it'd be a good date. And I think there's probably a good chance he'd shout too. So, you know, winner.
Oh, I've been out to dinner with him. He will not shout.
Okay, that was so. No, but that was you, Dania, because you're off the TV. Amy, I will most certainly shout. I've got some vouchers. I got vouchers, mate. I got vouchers coming out of everywhere.
Do you like eating at Subway?
We're going to Nando's, Subway. We're going to Nando's.
Oh, we're going up in the world.
Yeah, we're going upmarket. Oh, I'm in too. All right. You stay on the line, Amy. You sound wonderful.
Let's go to Jane. Jane from Mount Druitt is here. Jane, why would you possibly ring in for this? Surely.
Okay, so I think Ed is a really, really funny guy.
Appreciate
and
that.
would be absolutely, a good laugh, good time. But I'm a little bit scared to why? If I say yes to it. Tiff is an ex-gladiator. She would be in beat down mode.
Yes, she will mess you up if things get out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Ed, you go.
Hang on. When was the last time you went out on a date night, Jane?
I go out every week with my husband on a date night. So,
how do you do that? How do you find time? How do you make that work?
So I've got two older kids. I mean, I'm not dealing with a 6 month old. I'm dealing with 11 and a 9 year old. So you know, they go off to grandma and grandpa's, and we go out. So.
Okay, you're my inspiration, Jane, because my wife and I looked at each other the other day and we're like, oh, yeah, remember when we used to go and do stuff? We love our son, but it's pretty tough. I believe we've got is there someone else on the line there, Benny? Someone else has called in. Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Dean from Married at First Sight. Mate, I'll go on your date. Oh, bloody five skateboards. You can ride two of them, but not the Ninja Turtles one because I'm the coolest guy. I'm Leonardo the Leader. And then we'll go out, get a few drinks and probably end up, you know, like with Davina and that. And then we'll go back to my joint, just chill, play some PlayStation because I'm 39 years old and that's what... Hey, yo, Tracy.
Oh,
and then with your little lady, we'll just bust rhymes into the early. My little lady, you drive me crazy.
Okay.
Dean, hit me up on Flognet.
All right. All right, Dean, look, you're in the running. Okay, Dean.
Log net.
Is that it? Is that the last caller, Dania?
I think there's one more.
Hello, madam. What is your name?
I don't know where she's calling from. Who's there?
Hello, madam. Who is this?
Oh, it's me. Oh, sorry. I was waiting for the last entry. It's Tiff. Hi, guys.
Tiff who?
Hi, it's Tiff, as in tiffexo.com. Married to Ed Cavalli for 4 years. Mother of your 6 months.
And will you continue to be married to him if he goes out on another date with someone else instead of you on Friday night?
Look, even though I'm sick, I'm still coming. So it's all four of us, I say. Amy and Jane, come along.
Yeah!
Let's have a great time. Yeah. You know, I'm going to give you free Tiffexo membership. We're going to have a great time. We're going out for a healthy dinner. Okay. You know, and we're just going to have a great time, all four of us. Why not? So let's turn this date night into a party.
So my wife is unwell and she's planning a healthy dinner. Can you see why I want to take somebody else?
Ed, you said Japanese was okay.
Yeah, the Japanese is beautiful, sweetheart.
What kind of conversations would Ed be working through over the course of a dinner? Like if you went out with him, what sort of gear is he forcing you to sit through?
Look, I think he's very pedantic, so if you say something, you'll get like a history lesson on it.
Yeah.
I was wearing a cap the other day.
Hang on, what?
Yeah, boring story. And I was wearing a cap the other day and he gave me the whole history lesson of the colours of the cap, about the Mets and the New York City flag. And I was like, I was just wearing it because I wanted to look cool, dude. Like,
yeah, sadly, Amy and Jane have hung up. Thank you, Tiff.
Amy, Jane, please take him out.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
This is our Ask Me Anything series. And today, something that we all hope that we are never faced with. The two people that we are speaking to today have survived a terrorist attack. June 12, 2016, the Pulse nightclub. A gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. A gunman killed 49 people and wounded 58 others. The gunman was a 29-year-old security guard, and then he was shot and killed by the Orlando Police Department. And our first guest today is Christopher. Morning, Chris.
Hello, how are you? Hi, everybody.
What do you remember about that night?
That it was a bedazzled den. I don't know if you remember the movie Bedazzled.
Right, yes, I
but
do.
But it was such an amazing evening that it was so enchanted. It was a disguise to what was going to be the worst night of my life.
49 people were killed, 58 injured. We can't imagine the terror that you would have witnessed. Describe the moment it started. What did you see?
The moment it started, I felt the vibrations in my body. I was dancing to the beat of someone's death that I was somebody's music coming out of a DJ speaker, but it wasn't. And seeing flashing lights that looked like a strobe light was the beginning of my night. That's what I saw. I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't really see. And so I was able to see the flashing lights, but not get a quite clear image of where or who they were from.
How long did it take for the club as a whole to realize what was actually taking place?
Oh, I don't know. Probably it was into the song. I don't know. So it wasn't really right away. Everyone thought it was part of the music. And then when you realize it's not part of the music and there people are dying around you and getting shot, things just went into chaos. It was crazy.
What was your thought process at that time once you realized that something very, very, very bad was happening?
After hearing the echoing of the glass hit the ground and realizing that our screams were the new music of the nightclub, I knew I had to go. My experience was quite traumatic, and making it out and then realizing that I had to go back to be the brave soldier now, what you call our domestic terrorist attack, that was our new war. I had to make sure people were there. Because if I were to be left behind, who'd be there to save me? Nobody. But if I'm capable of saving somebody else, I can.
You got out, and then, you know, you got out to relative safety, even though you don't know how many gunmen there are, what's actually happening, are they coming back? And then you did turn around, and for the next few hours, you helped people that had been shot.
I sure have. Yep, I did. When I was told, and I was kind of forced off the scene once everybody came along, I was told I had to go because I wasn't licensed or in the training to do so. So in order to save people, you had to be trained.
And what did you do after that? I mean, you sort of left to your own devices. I mean, it's, you know, what did you do immediately after you were sort of forced to go home? What did you do?
I had to stay and endure chaos and watch people bleeding outside of a hospital, watching cars transporting bodies, watching families arriving in the news and the media and the helicopters above us and the lockdown of the hospital, the explosion that happened outside the bar where it caused me to jump between vans. Like, a lot went on that night. And there's so much that you can't even talk about in this short moment.
I understand that we've got somebody else there, a lady by the name of Tiara Parker. You actually came face-to-face with the gunman. What did he say to you?
We were in the bathroom stall. At this point, I'm shot, and I'm actually laying on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I remember him, like, looking down. So, like, you know, you could see people's feet and things like that. And, like, I was laying, the way I was laying on the floor, I could look straight out. And me laying on the floor, when I looked out the door, he peeked down. Like, you know, like, he must have thought, like, I died with my eyes open or something. Because my biggest fear was that he was going to shoot me in my face.
Yeah.
So I didn't blink. I didn't breathe. I didn't do anything. I just kept staring at him.
And sadly, that night, your cousin was with you and didn't make it through.
Yes. And a friend of mine at the time, she was shot in both of her legs. She actually has to wear a steel rod for the rest of her life.
So what sort of situation were you forced into to try and help your cousin? Because obviously she was in a bad way and you were trying to do your best to help?
When the shooting started, my friend and my cousin, they ran out. But when they realized I wasn't behind them, I was still in the club when the shooting was going on. That's how we ended up in there. We all pretty much got shot at the same time. Because he opened fire in the stall.
Yep.
And that's how everything happened.
Hey, Chris, I just wanted to ask you one last question. I understand that you're at the March for Our Lives this weekend.
I was at March for Our Lives, indeed. It was amazing.
And there were hundreds and thousands of people there. Do you think, as someone who has survived a mass shooting in America, do you think that this latest push is going to have any difference on lawmakers around the issue of guns in America?
Absolutely. This is the day and age now where the young kids are stepping up to be more like adults, like they said. You know, when the children are saying that the adults are acting like kids, so then the kids have to start acting like adults. They're absolutely right when it comes to standing up for gun control, because people are listening.
Okay.
People are listening. Now, what we need to do is come together and unite and fix this problem together, and there won't be a problem. It's now time for the people. Yeah. Not the politicians.
We the people, as it starts. Christopher and Tiara, survivors.
Yes, and I'm here in front of the Washington Memorial. You're right.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Couldn't be a more apt place to be. Christopher and Tiara, survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting. Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you for having us.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye, when you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's
Ed.
Entertainment.
Okay, let's start with some entertainment that's just come to light. We just heard the Cranberry Zombie.
Yep.
Grant Daniel, your link to that song.
I played it from my Year 11 music exam.
Okay,
brought the house down.
You had a band?
Yes, they were called Who Cares?
And what so it was for an exam, and what did you get, an A?
I got a C, unfortunately. I don't think we put enough into the pageantry and costuming. I had jeans with white runners and a T-shirt tucked into my jeans.
Which you're still wearing today. You should have been dressed as zombies. Meanwhile, over in the States, Roseanne, the revival of Roseanne skyrockets with a stunning premiere. 18.1 million viewers tuned in to see the original cast of Roseanne back together.
It's a big number.
It is a big number. Roseanne, of course.
How's the basketball game?
It's dope.
But I still think the Bulls of 96-97 would have beat these guys anytime.
So it's real straight down the line, middle America stuff, and they have responded. 18.1 million viewers. To put that into perspective, that's 18.1 million more than Family Feud gets. We move on.
Hey! Hey, nostalgia goes well, doesn't it? But sometimes when an old TV show comes back, it doesn't necessarily live up to your memory of how good that TV show was.
But they've done the right thing, which is have exactly the same people.
Yes.
And just updated the jokes, because it's worked for Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And now it's worked for Roseanne. How long until Kingswood Country comes back? How long till Acropolis Now, I hear you ask. Oh. How long till All Together Now?
Yeah, I hear Stevie Jacobs.
Stevie Jacobs back in the role that made him famous. Sean Penn's written a novel. Ah, jeez. There's no way to start this. Just it's getting really bad reviews.
Is it about his life? What's it about?
No. It's a novel. So it's not about his life.
Yeah. Right.
It's about a modern American man who sells septic tanks for a living and brutally murders the elderly for the government on the side.
Wow, that's a twisted plot.
It's like a Steven Seagal novel to me. Finally, in Married at First Sight news, I'd just like to make a plea to the chemists of Victoria. If you're a chemist in Melbourne, please, you need to stockpile on Botox and the remedy for crabs, because all of the Married at First Sight contestants are moving to your city. Shh. Like Tammy flu. Get a warehouse and fill it, because Sean and Tracy are rumoured to have their own Married at First Sight spin-off show. They've recently moved to Melbourne together. And also, who else has moved to Melbourne? Apparently Dean's on his way too.
Hey, yo,
yeah,
Tracy,
my little lady. You drive me crazy.
After last week on the couch, I know you probably hate me.
But you gave me your shot. You're so hot.
You're the only person who knows that apart from him.
Your apparently brain is next level. Come on, show me what you got.
And that is...
That's Edutainment. Freaky.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
We sure are. At 17 minutes past 8, 104.1 Today FM Breakfast. Doing it for the new Slender Blender from Boost Juice. Less than 225 calories and packed with 20 grams of protein. We had one the other day and it was delicious. Speaking of delicious, Grant Denyer, who have you got for us today winning some money?
Jerry from Penrith is on the line. Jerry, how you going? What prompted you to call in this morning?
I woke up this morning after having a dream that I won the $10,000. And in that dream, I pretty much spent all the money booking my little dog into a luxury pet hotel.
What? Why would you spend all your money on that? You get nothing out of that.
I wouldn't in real life.
The dream. Okay. Dreams are crazy, man. Let's see if we can make your dreams come through and get you some cash right now. You ready to go?
Yes.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter M, okay? M for Milo. So for each question you get right, you score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. You ready, Jerry?
Yep.
M, here we go. Name a breakfast spread.
Marmite.
An American state.
Mississippi.
A phone app.
Maya One.
An insect.
Moth.
A clothing brand.
Meyer.
Taylor Swift song.
Path.
An Australian river.
Path.
A style of dance.
Moroccan.
A video game.
Path.
A male music artist. You came out of the block so strong,
yeah,
Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah, there's some tough questions.
$500, awesome. Jerry.
There you go.
Okay.
That's good.
That's great.
You book yourself into the pet hotel now.
Pretty much.
Yeah, have some fun.
Grant Denyer, it is Easter over the weekend.
Yep.
And it sure is, mate. And I understand that you've been in consultation with the Easter Bunny for some time about the potential Easter egg hunt at your house for your two lovely daughters.
Mr. Bunny and I have a deal. We like to collaborate each Easter on the ultimate egg hunt, and it's a process. You got to get this thing right. It's not enough that just because he's a busy guy, the Easter Bunny.
Very busy.
You know, I don't want him to just come and just drop the eggs and go. I want this to be some effort. So I've mapped out a plan for him, which I've done this in the past.
Right.
So we sort of build this scheme together. So it's all about the length of the trail of the eggs.
Okay.
Don't you agree, Ed?
Oh yeah, I think when I was younger and I was lucky enough for the Easter Bunny to visit me.
Mm.
It was often the fun places that the Easter Bunny found to hide eggs.
Yes.
Like in pot plants.
This is what I'm talking about. You can't just put them out in dots on the footpath. You've got to weave in and out of the house. You've got to include two environments. You've got to work the outside and the inside in together.
So it's a little bit Easter egg hunt, a little bit Amazing Race at your place.
A little bit Call of Duty. Right? So, like, it's got to be a full immersive experience. A game of hide and seek, if you like. Like, it's literally got to take them almost 3 months to find them all.
So the reason that I bring this up is because I believe that your lovely wife, Chezzy, had to have a word to you and, by proxy, the Easter Bunny, because what happened last year?
Possibly might have made it just a little too hard. The plan that we executed with E-Bunny and myself kind of went a little too hardcore.
What happened?
It sort of led them down the paddock.
So
there were slippers that were destroyed. There were frozen kids who were crying because they couldn't find their eggs. At one point, I turned around and there was a fox disappearing with two eggs in his mouth. He'd stolen
a fox.
A fox had stolen, stolen the egg. So there was a heist in the middle of the hunt. So the wheels were falling off. I'd put in what was weeks of work into this with Mr. Bunny, and I was so happy with it. But I had a talking to, just saying, look, we can't. The kids shouldn't be going outside with night vision goggles on just to find their eggs, okay? Yeah.
You know when you've gone too far? When the kids needed GPS and SES volunteers to help them find the eggs, then you may have...
Light the flares, kids, we're going out!
Good luck this weekend, damn you kids. They'll be up at Shackleton's hut somewhere in the Antarctic, shivering, trying to find an elegant rabbit.
Somewhere where Burke and Wills was last seen will be the last egg.
It's just two frozen kids holding a cream egg each.
I don't want them to come back until they're 27.
So it's Easter. We've got all our wonderful Easter show bags in the studio here. We've got the Freddo Frog. We've got the Milky Bar. We've got the Star Wars one, which is next level. Epic. It is so good. It's got so many wonderful things in it. You can see it all up on our Instagram. We just did a showcase, Grant Denyer. I got to do my own showcase. You're the game show host, but I got to have a go.
Watching you work and talk about show bags, I've never seen a human more excited in their life.
I'm pretty fired up. So there's been an issue. We very kindly, when we were doing What's the Superior this morning, What's the Superior Easter Egg, and because it's Easter, 4 days, our producers, our intrepid, wonderful producers, Grant, they went out yesterday and they got every Easter egg under the sun. We are talking lint rabbits, red tulip rabbits, Darrell Lee, everything, Humpty Dumpty, the whole bit. And then this morning, Grant, some really crestfallen faces, unhappy faces, as it was discovered that overnight, they put them there overnight, something had happened. Now, Max, one of our senior producers, morning, Maxie.
Good morning. It's not a good morning. It's a bad morning.
It's a terrible morning.
Oh, dear. Now, we work in an office, and as you know, there's often notes that get left around in offices. My favourite of all time, which is one that I saw in the radio station a couple of months ago, and there was a cupboard, and the cupboard was closed, and it was someone had written on a note in pink fluorescent paper with huge black letters, "Do not open this cupboard. It is full of bugs." And...
Instead of fix the bug situation, a post-it note should do the job.
That'll ward them off. But no one left a note on the Easter eggs, "Do not touch," Max. And what happened?
Look, I'm not happy. I came in this morning and noticed that there were three bunnies missing. One of the limited edition Peter Rabbit bunnies, and another was the marshmallow coated bunny, which is delicious.
It is delicious. True.
Now, these are rare items.
These are rare items.
These are your top end
and
Easter.
They were here for you guys.
Yeah, I know they were. And you've done a lot of trouble getting those for us. So please read out the email that you fired off at 4:30 this morning to the rest of the office.
Morning all. We've had a situation this morning after some chocolate that was organised for Grant and Ed has been taken from a basket that was sitting next to my desk. This was for on air, it was for content, and we've now had to pull the content as Grant and Ed were very upset.
Oh, I was furious.
Can you please let me know ASAP if you know where the missing chocolate is? Specifically, there were the two bunnies missing that I previously mentioned on air now.
Yeah,
looking forward to this being resolved. Max.
Okay. We crossed
very passive aggressive.
No, that's actually aggressive. Okay. I love the use of us being upset even though we didn't even know. We didn't even know about it. So we now go to Rowan, our assistant music director here at Today FM. Morning, Rowan.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Okay, I understand you got some information on the missing bunnies.
I'm happy to rat them out for sure.
And who is the person who has stolen the aforementioned bunnies?
That would be one Tom Whittaker, a.k.a. Draco, from Ash London Live.
Oh.
Case closed.
And has this person eaten the rabbits or have they been returned?
No, I think he ate all of them. The words were, Max is on a diet, he doesn't need them.
Oh.
Wow. Max, the marshmallow, just talk me through the creation.
I don't think I've ever had a marshmallow so good in my life. I tried one of them yesterday before leaving the rest for you two. And now gone. I do not have them. I do not have that delicious, moist marshmallow coated in light Cadbury chocolate.
Moist is a bit excessive, but okay.
All right. So we've now solved the mystery of the missing rabbits. What punishment do we think should be doled out to this Draco character?
Well, they need to be replaced.
If the ball tampering is anything to go by, he should be banned for a year, and he's not allowed to captain Australia for a year either. And he's coming home from South Africa, that bloke. Just in time for the long weekend, and joined by Gogs in the studio. Hey, Gogs.
Hi, guys.
Now, normally you would do your footy tips up against M today, but M is away. Mm. But you are the, let's always give your credentials.
Yeah, ground announcer for the Parramatta Eels. Go the Eels. Come on. They've got to have a win this weekend.
Okay, so what are the... that was less than enthusiastic.
They got to. There's only one way up from the bottom, so you've got to go to the top.
Gogs, if people want to go out and see some, you know, some live sport and go and hang out at some grounds, what's on this weekend that people can go
yeah,
to?
Yeah, okay. So we don't have any footy tonight. That's up in Queensland tonight. But on Friday, look, this is always a massive clash at ANZ Stadium, Souths v Bulldogs, the Good Friday clash. It's always massive between these two sides. Mm-hmm. They love getting out there to support their teams. Mm-hmm. And they're both coming off big wins last weekend. So hopefully a good game, good turnout.
But what you also wanted to talk to you about an announcement over the last couple of days of the Women's Rugby League. Yeah, so we've seen the huge success of the AFL Women's. Yeah. Now the Women's Rugby League, how many teams are they going to have?
Yeah, look, this is really exciting news for the women in the league. Four teams have been announced, though, and this is probably what people are seeing a little bit of an issue with, just the four teams.
Yeah, it sounds a little underwhelming.
Yeah, so it's the Broncos, Roosters, Warriors and Dragons. Okay. And what the NRL have come out and said is that they've just gone with these four teams to start with because they feared that there was going to be, like, a shortage of players.
Right.
They've gone with geographic location as the focus. Yep. So they've kind of gone, you know, Warriors, well, that's another country. Yep. Broncos, that's another state. And then Roosters and Dragons, you know, sort of spreading it out in the Sydney region.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the problem is, so the two teams that actually put in a bid that have missed out are the Sharks and Souths. And look, they're pretty fired up, particularly the Sharks, who have a massive following in the women's rugby league.
I would argue that if you're having the Sydney Roosters, then geographically, the Cronulla Sharks is another area that you should definitely try and keep hold of.
Exactly. That's what I would have thought.
And look, if you just have a look at the Sharks' history in the women's game, they're the first club to contract a women's rugby league player, being that Gillaroo's captain, Ruin Sims. And that's actually increased a number to 34 over the past 2 years. They've got 800 female junior rugby league players, five current junior Gillaroos, and they also hosted the 2017 Women's World Cup. So
how did they miss out?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty poor message that you're sending to all of those juniors and to all of the parents and all of that type of thing. Have any of the Sharks male players weighed in on this?
Yeah, look, they've been pretty quick off the bat on that. Andrew Fifita, he's spoken out about it. He's not happy, actually. Have a listen.
I think women's rugby, I think we need to take a real leap out of like AFL at the moment. I think AFL women's got a better crowd than us at the moment, so I think they're doing a better job than us at the moment. So, look, I thought our girls were doing really well, to be honest. I just found out today that we're not getting a women's team. It's a bit harsh.
Yeah, and so they've actually lodged an appeal, the Sharks. They're furious about it. And I've just seen a petition on change.org. They're up to about 7,000 signatures.
Well, we'll put a link up to that. Yeah, we'll put a link up to that because to me, of at least Cronulla and possibly more teams as well. Now, the other thing that's on, of course, Easter Show. Mm. And some of the things that we can see, the Isuzu D-Max Precision Driving Team. Daniel, this caught your eye.
Yeah, these are good, these boys. Obviously, that's one of the great staples of the Royal Easter Show, is watching these guys just do their choreography in close confines to one another, driving on two wheels. So we sent one of our boys down there to go and have a crack.
Yeah, we sent our producer, Max. Safe to say, he's a fairly inner-city gentleman. And do you have a driver's license, Maxie?
I have a valid driver's license for auto only.
Yeah, okay. So, was it scary?
It was terrifying. I didn't think I'd make it back.
But you did. And that video, which is very funny, is up on our Instagram and our Facebook page. And the wood, hey, Gogs, wood chopping. Oh, tell me there's wood chopping on this weekend.
I love a bit of wood chopping. I saw this last year at the show, and geez, that's good to get out
it's
and
always
watch.
Good. Yeah,
it's just always good. Such a spectacle.
So the classic throwback to, you know, to the great events of yesteryear. Remember Dave Foster? Remember Big Dave, the big Tasmanian? Dave.
Yeah, the Tassie bloke with the big gut and the mustache.
Oh, what a gut. I put his singlet on one day, and it literally came down to my ankles. He is a massive unit.
And I tell you what, it's like, I mean, I haven't had a go, but it looks like a very strenuous kind of activity, the old wood chopping.
Like some of them can get through them like in four chops now. Like they are powerhouses. But if you miss, you do lose a leg, so it's high risk.
I mean, I'd be taking it slower.
I'm still back at the image of you sort of, why did you have his singlet on? Was it the next morning? Just grabbed one of the big fella's singlets. Yeah. It's a night of wood chopping.
The wind blew and I took off like a parasail off into the distance.
Gogs. Grant, put it away, son. Put it away, Grant.
See you, Dave Foster. You are magical.
So before we wander off for the long weekend, the cricketers have been suspended and Michael Clarke's just come out on the Today Show to say what he thinks. Because the problem now is that Steve Smith, Davey Warner and Cameron Bancroft, yeah, they've been copping it in South Africa, but they're about to come home. Here's Michael Clarke's thoughts.
Whatever punishment these players cop or whatever the sanctions are, that's going to be nothing compared to what they've got to deal with for the rest of their lives. They're going to be called cheats for the rest of their lives. And I think that word forgiveness, it needs to come in at the right time.
Where are you guys at? Are you ready to forgive and move on?
Yeah.
I think once the penalty's handed down, I think, my interest has now kind of waned a little bit.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit sorry for them now, which I didn't before.
I do. I can understand Cricket Australia's decision in handing down these bans. I feel like what else were they meant to do? Mm. You know, you cheat in a game, you got to cop a price.
Throwing around the C word.
Yeah.
Your reputation is ruined forever.
It is, and I agree with you, though. I do feel sorry. I feel sorry for Steve Smith. I mean, that footage of him leaving South Africa this morning.
He looked like he was going to cry.
He it was really tough. He was being heckled. He was being booed. He was being yelled cheater. And it looked like, you know, scenes out of a movie, and it was really distressing.
Yeah, it was like watching one of the Bali Nine get smuggled through
exactly,
an airport. Like,
yeah.
It was hectic.
Well, the reason he was crying is because he's flying back to Australia on Tiger Airways. Let's go. Have a lovely long weekend, everybody. We'll catch up with you on Tuesday. You can see all of our Insta videos about the Easter show bags. There's so much going on there. We will catch you on Tuesday.
Have a great Easter, everybody.
This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed has been waiting for you to enjoy whenever you're ready. Just like the new Slender Blend Up from Boost Juice. Lighten the load. With less than 225 calories and 20 grams of protein, they're at Boost Juice now.